Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Chris Allen. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. This is episode 5. How y'all doing? What's up? Happy MLK Day, everybody. That's right, everybody. Happy MLK Day. Oh, as I found on Twitter, this guy Dylan Stewart, he likes to call it Nigger Day. And he posed this question. Why do we get out on Nigger Day, but not on Veterans Day? So a nigger that got shot is more important than our soldiers who fight for freedom. First of all, Dylan, you're a fucking moron and an idiot. And I hope you really enjoy your MLK Day. First of all, Martin Luther King was a soldier, okay? I don't care what you say. And that man was fighting for freedom here in his own country. And was shot and killed here in his own country by a quote-unquote fellow American. So you make no sense. Maybe if you had a better job, you might get off Veterans Day. And if you want to be real racist about it, Dylan, if you even are old enough to work, take your funky ass to work on Martin Luther King Day. Put in a long, hard 8 hours for no pay. Show us how racist you really are. Show us how much you fucking hate us. And do that for us, please. Work 8 hours for no money. Does that shit sound familiar? Please show me how much you hate me. Make that sacrifice. Go work at some fucking tire place where you probably work. Change those tires for free. Do those oil changes for free. And I hope you look down at your dirty black hands and you get mad all day. It just makes you more and more mad that your skin is dark, you racist piece of shit. All right. Hey, everybody. Sorry for starting off the podcast so heavy. I hate ignorant people like that. That's despicable. But hey, you know what? This is America. That man has a right to his opinion, no matter how much I disagree with it or how much I don't like it. I hope you guys have been enjoying your MLK Day. I am. I like to reflect, listen to the speech, change my profile picture to MLK. I know that doesn't mean a whole lot, but hey, I did it. You know, it's out of respect. And this question comes up a lot, and I guess I'll just bring it up just because it's Martin Luther King Day. Why did I say it like that? Martin Luther King Day. Whenever there's any type of like quote-unquote black issues or something going on with, you know, a couple black guys get killed by the police or, you know, riot or something like that goes on. You got people, black and white, that they would like to pose that question. What would Martin Luther King say today? How would he feel about this? How would he feel about the black community, the state that we're in today? I think overall, even though I did not know this man, and I really don't want to speak for Dr. King, but I think he will be happy with the progress that he made, that we've made. For Christ's sake, there's a black man sitting in the Oval Office. There are black people in positions of power all over this country. Now, am I saying that shit is perfect? No. There's still a lot of shit we need to fix racially in this country. I'm not going to be one of these black people that get up and say, you know, it's a lot better. We should just be thinking, no, fuck that. I'm not going to just be thankful. We can do better. Our country can do better racially. We can. Well, who can't do better besides like fucking Oprah or like Bill Gates? Well, actually, Windows sucks. He could do better. But I feel like he would be pretty happy with himself. But again, yes, there are things we need to change within our community, within ourselves, to be better. But damn it, I think as a whole, black people are doing, we're doing well. I'm not going to let the media and all that kind of stuff tell me or make me feel like we're not doing shit when we are. I'm not going to focus on the motherfuckers, the niggas who aren't doing shit. There are a lot of black people out there doing some good things that they don't get credit for. And that's fine. Because you shouldn't be doing it for the credit. You should just be doing it just to do it. And if you get recognized, that's great. And if you don't, that's how shit works. And it's kind of funny, a funny segue. I posed this question on Facebook. You know, because it seems like a lot of negative, you get negativity cells. You know, it catches people's eyes. I was thinking about that. Like, why does all this negative shit just seem like it? Because this is like, I think it's human nature. We react. We are more reactive to negative stimulus than we are to positive, I think. Someone tells you you look nice, it's like, oh, thank you. Someone tells you look like shit, or, you know, they call you a name, you get a little bit more amped about it. I think that's just human nature. It's something you can work on to maybe help you respond better to that. But I think it's human nature to have a bigger response to a negative stimuli. But I posed a question on Facebook, and I want to thank everybody for responding. I want to take this time out to thank everybody who's listened, any new listener, the people who responded to my email. But I posed this question, and I don't have it verbatim, but I'll just paraphrase. And I'll preface it by saying this. I don't listen to a whole lot of new music. There's a few people I listen to, but especially like R&B, not really. I just started listening to a couple songs of Janae Aiko that I heard. I don't even know where. I think Pandora. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track. So I don't listen to a whole lot of new music of any genre, really. But I've noticed whenever I do hear newer R&B music that it seems to be fairly negative when it comes to like describing the relationship between men and women, mainly black men and women. And I was like, damn, now, okay, is this really just a marketing thing? You know, is it just the fact that the drama sells, you know? Or, you know, the songs about the side piece and sneaking. Is it the fact that sells? Or is this really a direct reflection of how relationships in the black community are viewed and are being played out? Or is this the norm? You know, I've noticed like on a lot of social media, you know, I follow a lot of comedians and stuff, and like a lot of jokes, a lot of memes, and all, it's really like focused on the side chick, a lot of side chick humor, you know, not a whole lot of humor about, you know, just your girl, or you just, you know, that's that, I'll take my wife, please, not that, like, I'm sick of my girl humor. It's more like, it seems to be really focused on the side woman, and I know it's just a joke, but it's like, damn, it seemed like the side women get more attention than like your girl does. Now, which brings me back to the music. So I asked, and I got a lot of responses. You know, some range from like almost quasi conspiracy theories. You know, the whole thing like record label execs, they choose the records. You know, they don't want that type of positive music getting out. That's how they keep us apart. They keep the black man and the black woman apart. That type of shit. They're breaking the home up. And it's just like, you know what? I've gotten to those discussions, and sometimes I'm like, I'm like, yeah, I see that shit, son. I see it. I feel you. They're doing that shit to us. They don't want us to be one people, because if we did, then, you know, we had blah, blah, blah. I fell into that shit before, too. But when you really start playing it out in your head, it's just like, that's a lot of shit going on just to keep black people apart. But it can be some interesting conversation that time. So I've gotten responses from that all the way to like, it's our society now. And I could see that to a certain degree. I could see that. Society changes over time. A lot of people feel like society now is a lot faster, which I agree with to a certain extent. I think as we get older, you kind of slow down and your world just kind of, you got your friends, you got your TV shows, you got, you know what I mean? You got your technology that you like, and you're really not interested in learning anything else right now. It's like, I'm done. Fuck it. I'll get an iPhone. I'll get a Galaxy. I'll learn how to use a smartphone. But I'm not getting on Instagram. But I'll have a Facebook, or vice versa. I just think as we get older, we tend to just kind of start to make our world smaller. You know, things that we can control. I mean, but to someone who's like in their teens or early 20s, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, Facebook, I mean, that's their world. That's regular pace for them. That doesn't seem like a lot to them. That's how they consume and interact with the world. That's how they get their news. So I think to some older people it may seem faster because you're not up on all the new stuff that's out. But with all the social media, I think we are with the internet, we're just bombarded with so much stuff. And for someone to get attention, they have to keep upping the ante, you know? Or this new little R&B chick comes out and she's wearing this. Oh, okay. Damn, that got, you know, 80 million views. Well, if you want 90, then you need to wear this or say this. Same with the R&B artist. Oh, he hitting it like this? Well, I'm going to hit it like that. Oh, for real? Well, I'm looking ass over here, son. We looking ass over here. But it just keeps going up and up and up and up. It's just like this one-up thing. We have been bombarded with so much stuff nowadays. It's just we're not shocked by a lot as much anymore. I don't feel we are. Sexual stuff, violent stuff. I mean, that dude's tweet, that racist shit I read. Honestly, how many people are really shocked? You're not. It's just like now with social media and all these outlets to get how you feel out, podcasts. I mean, the world, I think it's kind of always, people have always had these thoughts, but now there's so many ways for you to get it out there and for everybody to hear or for you to get into a group of like-minded people where it's not seen as, you know, racist or sexually deviant or whatever you want to call it. It's just in that group, that's fine behavior. But then with the social media, stuff gets out and your stuff that's cool in your group, it gets out to other groups and people are like, oh my God, that dude likes a cheese grater rubbed on his balls. That's weird. But to that group, it's just like, yeah, we all do. That's not weird for us. We're like, yeah, that's not racist. That's just how we feel. And I think it plays into the music industry as well. People want to be the next big thing. And they're looking for the next big thing. They want to be the next big thing. So it's just like, I got to up the ante. I got to do something. And I don't want to say, because I've heard people say like, well, anybody can do this now. That's fine. I don't care. Like, you know, I've heard people get mad because like take DJ equipment. Like now you can just do it on your laptop. Anybody can DJ now. Back in the day you had to, I mean, you still got to get good. Yeah, they made it a little easier, not as hard to carry this shit around. You can put it on a laptop and just walk into a place and DJ. That doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. Same with the music. You have so many people on YouTube that can't sing, they can't dance, they can't rap, but they're out there doing it. And personally, I don't think that record labels really try to develop any artists anymore. It just really doesn't. I don't think it's really financially viable for them to do that. You can get on Instagram, you can get on Twitter, you can get on Facebook, YouTube. It's like, all right, who's the little hottest local rapper that has 300 million views or whatever, something ridiculous on their page? All right, they go find this dude. It might not be a record label, but it might be another more famous rapper. Fucking Drake sees somebody. Or Drake hears some song like that Tuesday. He heard that song. Yo, I'm going to rap on that track. Boom. Dude's even more famous now. Look at Bobby Shmurda and that dude who does that Coco song. I'm in love with the Coco. That's one of the worst songs ever. I don't know if that dude's been rapping for a long time. I don't know if he's on a label. But I'm just saying, it's just shit like that you might not have heard a long time ago. Now there's a platform for it. We just get bombarded with so much shit. But I got a little off track. But back to the R&B thing. It's just so negative with the side chicks and people breaking up. And I don't know, man. People, based on my responses, people think it's just really just not cool to be in love. Or say you're in love. I think it's weird that you get some of these hardcore rappers, they come out, they make their little, you know, love rap song, but then you got R&B dudes out there singing the word fuck. That's different. I always thought the R&B guy was supposed to be a little bit more subtle, you know? Better use of his words. He's painting a picture, you know, he's trying to get a woman hot and heavy, you know, through suggestion and all that kind of stuff. But no, these dudes, it's like they're like singing pornos now, pretty much. And they're not all doing it, because you still got your Neos, your Life Jennings, you got your Music Soul Childs. And I know there's numerous other artists out there. But like I said before, I don't really listen to a lot of new music of any kind. A few new rappers or artists I listen to, but not a whole lot. It's just the shit that I hear when I'm really not trying to hear anything. That's what I hear. Some people think that, reality shows are to blame. I'm guilty. I like to watch Housewives of Atlanta. And that's all that show is. All those shows. It's all drama. It's all relationship drama. You wish you was married. You wish you was that. You sleeping with a married dude in Africa. Oh, and by the way, I'm really loving Claudia Jordan right now. She's straight up, she destroyed NeNe. I mean, so I got to see the Colts get their ass handed to them and NeNe Leakes. I can't stand that woman anymore. NeNe Leakes used to be one of my favorite people on the show, man. And she got some money now, or she claims to have money now. She lost her goddamn mind. That's all she talks about is her checks, which leads me to believe that she really doesn't have any fucking money. Because people who always talk about they got money usually don't have shit. Now, Candy Burris is really rich, and she barely ever, if ever, talks about her money. Portia, sit your ass down. Just be cute. Don't say anything. All right? You're not smart at all. Sorry, sweetie. You're not. But, yeah, I mean, people think that that the reality shows kind of play into it. And do I agree? I think it has something to do with it. I think a lot of, you know, young people watch that shit, and that looks kind of like, oh, man, I kind of want to live the reality star life where I'm going out for drinks, we're going on trips, and we're getting in arguments and all kind of, it looks fun. It's entertaining, but I don't want that in my life for real. I don't want it in my life for real. But I don't know, man. It's just like the negative shit just seems to get more of a response out of people. I mean, even on somebody said, look at Facebook. Somebody posts something negative about their baby daddy on Facebook. Boom. Dozens of comments. Positive stuff. Hey, got a new job. I mean, yeah, people are going to like it, but I don't think it's going to really spawn a conversation. But maybe comparing those two aren't not fair. There's not really much until I got a new job versus I hate my baby daddy. This dude did X, Y, and Z. There's more of a story there. But my point is, people respond more to negative things than positive. And that just kind of seems to be the consensus. People think that it sells. That sex sells. It's more aggressive, you know? And again, it's just like, if you want to be seen in this music industry, you have to make sure that you're outdoing the last person that was the biggest thing. I mean, look at Nicki Minaj. You had Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim. They were kind of out there. Well, Lil' Kim was way more out there than Foxy Brown, but I mean, she's like Foxy Brown. I mean, she's like Lil' Kim on steroids. And there's no telling who's going to be after Nicki Minaj. Whoever's after Nicki Minaj, they're going to have so much ass. I wouldn't even want to see that shit. It's going to be ridiculous. If you want to be the type of artist she is, you're going to have to go so over the top. So over the top. Now, again, I think the R&B, I think it can be a tad bit of laziness. Like I mentioned in my last podcast about freedom of speech. I think it's a lot easier to write just some raunchy, nasty shit than it is to really sit down and write that song about seeing a girl at a bus stop or on a train every day and y'all lock eyes and all this kind of stuff and y'all finally meet, have a first date and fall in love. I think that's a lot harder and that takes way more time. And I'm pretty sure there's some of the dudes who write some of the raunchy music now that could, but they're like, you know what? That's not really going to sell. Especially if I'm trying to get on. If I'm trying to get on, I need to do this. And then once I get to this, you know, level of stardom, then I can really start doing that. But it's like to get on, it's like I'm going to do what I can to get on. And then, boom, you get known for that. And it's like, well, I got to keep pumping this type of music out because that's what people fit. That's how people, that's what they want to hear from me. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear about staying together. They want to hear about my side bitches and me, you know, being in the club, you know, and twerking. Not a dude twerking. Chicks twerking in the club. You know, my boy Keith, in his response, he was like, because Keith is about 50, and he was like, man, back in the day, you wanted to hear that song, so you was hoping to get a dance with somebody. But he was like, now people were looking for the one-night stand, and this is like really no slow dancing. It's about twerking and just getting it in. You know? You can't hold hands and then rock back and forth to some of the R&B shit now. It's just like, man, did he really just say that? And I'm looking you straight in your eye. This is getting awkward. This is getting extremely awkward. But I don't think this music will last anyway. And I, you know what? Not once have I said this is not as good as old music. I'm not going to say that because there's a lot of old music that we don't even talk about anymore. Somebody else said 90% of the music today will be irrelevant in 5 years. I think you can say that about all music. There's been one hit wonder since the beginning of, you know, the music era in this country. I feel like most music is forgettable and you're not going to listen to it in a couple years because it was just very shallow on the surface type shit. So you're not going to listen to it. So I can't say the subtlety is really gone completely because I mean, you had dudes like Marvin Gaye back in the 60s and 70s and they were pushing the envelope, sexual healing, you know, not R&B, but you had Salt and Pepper push it. But I think that was like far and few between, but now it seems like that's almost like the norm. So I just, from what I'm gathering, people just really feel like it's mainstream and it sells. And it seems like the music may be driving how people view the relationships, not really a direct reflection of relationships, I guess. I guess they're kind of one and the same, I guess. Because if you're singing about baby daddy drama or baby mama drama and you know, side, you have to be going through that. And if it's popular, then people must be experiencing it. So I guess it's the chicken or the egg thing. I don't know. I get it. I'm just hoping that all black relationships aren't shitty. Because to me, that's what it sounds like. Based on this mainstream shit. I think I hit all my points. I think I did. There's a show. That's a show. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy. If I have any Virginia listeners, I will be at the Funny Bone in Richmond Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday is a different show, a separate show. Thursday through Sunday, Roy Wood Jr. is the headliner. Follow me on Instagram, too, at Chris Allen Comedy. And the email is negropleaseradio@gmail.com. If you guys have any ideas of how I can market the show better so I can get more listeners, please let me know. And that's the show. You guys have a great week. Thank you. Good night. Peace out.